Yes, sir, it is. Fantastic. Well, there's nothing like standing in front of a room that is loud and noisy that just suddenly grows quiet. My name's David Sparks, and I'm the husband of Chelsea Sparks, and I'm the dad to Callan and Luke Sparks, and I'm excited to get to teach tonight. And one of the things that I really enjoy about worshiping here is the opportunity to get to speak every now and then and get to hear different folks. So last week we heard Terrence O'Connor, and he gave us a great opening where we explored the definition of faith. And we heard some different examples of faith, and he kind of challenged us on, hey guys, what's faith, right? And everybody was quiet and timid and was kind of afraid to get involved. And then as the class went on, we got a little bit more bold in that. And that was good. That's excellent discussion. Tonight, we're going to follow that up with two faith heroes from Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, the theme this quarter is basically Faith's Hall of Fame. And so each class, that's what we're going to continue to discuss. Now, these two guys that we're going to talk about in Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 6, are Abel and Enoch. Two guys we don't really spend a ton of time talking about, and one with a bit of a mysterious departure. So I'd like to go ahead and get started by reading that. Hebrews 11, we'll read verses 4 through 6. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So basically tonight what we're going to do is we're going to explore a faithful attitude and see that demonstrated through a sacrificial offering. And we're also going to discuss what it means to walk with God. And at the end of tonight's class, I hope that we can better understand how faith is reflected in our actions. All right, now how many of you are faith infants? Any faith infants? You haven't been a Christian very long? It's okay, seriously. All right, so we got a bunch of long-term faithful folks. Is that what I'm seeing? I didn't see any hands go up for infants, okay? All right, it's okay, seriously, it's okay. Don't be shy. So I just want to know so that when we're talking about things that I don't make premature assumptions, all right? So we have a lot of folks that have been Christians a long time, a lot of folks that have studied for a long time, and a handful of folks that haven't. And that's important to note because guess what? How many of us have the same life experience? None? Okay, right? So we're all individuals. We all have different life experiences. We've all seen different things, and we've all come to where we are here tonight in a different way, united through faith and baptism. All right, so I'm going to start you off with our basic question here tonight. And we're going to bring in another character that we haven't talked about yet, but he's synonymous with Abel, right? Who is synonymous with Abel? Cain, right? So these are two guys that we always hear about together. All right, so what do we know about Cain and Abel? Brothers? Man, y'all are great. I thought I was going to hear murderer first, but brothers? All right, so Cain and Abel were brothers. And who is the parent? Who's the set of parents? Adam and Eve. All right, so very good. You guys get an A for tonight so far, and we'll continue to progress. All right, so Cain and Abel. And Genesis chapter 4 really kind of covers their story very well. And I'm going to read from a lesson sheet here a little bit about some of the things. And something that for me personally, I've always kind of wondered, You know, what was the real difference that we see between Cain and Abel? What was so different that one's offering was rejected? And I hope to get some interaction here with that in a little bit. All right, so Cain and Abel, how do you explain the difference between the two brothers? Abel was pleasing to God by his faith and his sacrifice. But his brother Cain became a murderer, killing his own brother. Okay? All right, so genetically, we already checked this out, right? They had the same parents. Hereditary, right? They have the same parents. The environment, where did they grow up? We know? It's not a trick question. How close were they to paradise? Closer than any of us, right? So Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, but they had relatively the same environment. What kind of work did they do? Anybody know? All right, so one we have kind of like a shepherd hunter person, and the other we have somebody that worked the soil, worked as a farmer maybe. All right. So they both worked for a living. What about their religious upbringing? Where do we see them gathering together? We're going to read it here in a little bit, but where did we see them gathering together? They came together to offer a sacrifice, right? One brought one thing, one brought the other. Okay. So then what's the difference that would make a person righteous in God's eyes and the other turn into a murderer? Faith. Faith. Abel's faith made a hero out of him. And Cain's unbelief eventually led him to being a murderer. All right, so Genesis 4 tells us this story. The Bible records that the Lord was pleased with Abel's offering, but was not pleased with Cain's offering. One offered Abel a blood sacrifice, a representation of his obedient faith. He brought what God had asked. It did not neglect God the very best of what he had. Yet we see Cain come not with a sacrifice of blood, but instead a fruit or vegetable offering, something that he had grown. All right. So what I would like us to do is read Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Genesis 4, verses 3 through 8. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. At your door, it desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Hey, let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. All right, so that's pretty drastic, right? The difference seems to be a matter of the heart, where Abel chooses some of the firstborn of his flock, and Cain seems to grab some of his fruit, some of something that he's grown. That's one of the main differences that I see here. Cain was enraged that his sacrifice wasn't accepted. Now, how many of you have ever been upset in your life? All of us, right? We've all experienced a period of being upset, anger. Have you ever had that within your family? Where somebody you loved and cared about, somebody you've spent a lot of time with, you got angry at? Well, here we see that that anger turns into murder. He killed his brother. He had a chance to act and react differently, didn't he? Can you imagine that confrontation where God says, you know, this, you could be accepted as righteous? He was confronted and encouraged. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Now, how applicable are those same words to us today? That sin is crouching at the door and you must master it and turn it away. He had a chance to react differently than what he did. If you turn over into the New Testament, into Jude, there are a couple of verses that we'll read back and forth some more later. But Jude 11 refers to the way of Cain. And the way of Cain being defined as a religious person who believes in God to a degree, but by his own decision decides that God will just have to accept whatever he chooses to give, rather than bending his will to God's will by faith. And so when we compare the offerings between the two and the spirit in which they were given, we can tell that Cain approached God differently than his brother. Now, we know that God searches the heart of men, right? Yes or no? Yeah. And he tells us that his sacrifice was rejected. Cain knew what God desired and was able to do it. Now, is there anything that God expects of us that we're not able to do? I saw a lot of this, so I'm going to take that as, David, there's nothing that God is going to ask or expect of us that we are not fully equipped to do. Right? And yet, we read this story that he, Cain, fell into a snare. So we need to be aware of the way of Cain, right? How is your self-interest? You have a high self-interest, a low self-interest, right? How many of you rely on your talents? I do. I rely heavily on my talents. And I like to think that I have a lot of control of things. But the reality is how much control do I have? Zero. In many ways, right? This has been displayed to me time and time again, and yet I continue to think that I have a lot of authority and control in the matter. One particular way is in adoption and in foreign adoptions. And every time I feel like I can control different aspects, I'm shown that, David, really, you don't have any control. And so whatever I feel like I can control, I try to hold on to it as tight as I can and manipulate it as much as possible. And yet I read that I really don't have that control that I like to think I have. And then I see it play out in my life. The difference here is our matter of heart and the fact that God doesn't want us acting out of compulsion. Well, I go to church because my parents always went to church. Or I give because I'm pretty sure that God expects me to give in some way. Now, we can learn and be trained to do things based on patterns that we see and that we're experienced with. But God doesn't want us acting out of compulsion. It seems that here, Abel had consciously thought about what he was going to bring to God. And that may not have been the case for his brother. Thoughtfulness in how we serve one another. Thoughtfulness in how we serve the world. Thoughtfulness in what we bring to God and when we come together and worship him. And how we use what he's been giving us and giving us and giving us. God doesn't want us acting out of compulsion. That's one aspect of faith that we're going to discuss tonight. Now, another element that I want to talk about is, in my mind, is tied very tightly to that. And it's about walking. An illustration that we have tonight is with Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And I'd like to read those with you. Genesis 5, starting in verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Now, I want to ask you something. When you think about walking, what do you think about? What's that? Movement. So when we walk, all right, what do? We move. We think about where we're going to put our feet, right? We're aware of where we're going. Are there any other things that you think about when you think about going for a walk? Any of you guys, any of you folks, brisk walkers? You like to go for walks in the morning or a sunset or anything like that? No? One person. Okay. Two people. Three. All right. It's okay. Physical activity is okay. All right? Now, take some water. Thank you. There you go. Excellent. So you're talking about some preparations you make, right? And your phone. I've seen folks with dogs, too, right? So we think consciously about some of these things before we go for a walk, right? Any of you like to actively hike? I don't mean just like walking, but go out and hike in the wilderness and things like that. Yeah? Used to? Yes? All right. Hey, now, okay. See, if you're like, you know, normally I don't eat a lot before I speak, and because I feel lethargic or I get a little thick tongue. Maybe next time I'll have to ask y'all not to eat. All right. So I'm glad to see y'all are starting to wake up a little bit. All right. So when I think about walking, I think about walking with my two kids and my wife. And we like hiking, and we like going out walking. One time we took a hike, and it turned out not as well as we thought because it got super hot, and it was a lot longer than what we thought. Kids were young, and then it rained, and we were in a flash flood area. So that walk didn't turn out too good. All right, but normally when we talk about walking, I try to really be conscious of where we're going and the route that we're going to take and the different trails that are around. And I drive Chelsea nuts because I carry a map and I probably analyze it, you know, 85% of the time we're out walking because I want to make sure that we get to our destination or we don't fall off the path. Something else I like to do is I like to bring water. Got some right now. I like to bring some snacks. Along the path, sometimes I carry my kids, 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, excuse me. They get tired sometimes. Sometimes we take turns on who's carrying who, or if there's some rough patches or some difficult spots to walk along, we try to pick them up. I'm very protective. So if I see strangers or I see other people out or I see them with their dogs, and I don't want them wandering off the trail, I try to advise, too. All right, you're going to have to pick up your feet higher on these. You know, Luke loves to pick up sticks, but he's, like, super allergic to ants, and so it's always this tearing between, all right, it's okay to be a boy, but please don't get bit by anything. And I also try to encourage them along the walk. And they fully trust me. They totally trust me to guide and lead them on this trail anytime we go walking. And it is awesome. And being a dad gets me and allows me to see some of those things that God has in mind too, that I never knew and never understood because of my upbringing and the lack of a father figure constantly in my life. They have faith in me that I'm going to be there to protect them and help them when the trail is rough or they're tired of walking, or that I'm going to have something to give them to drink or a snack or something. They know that Dad and Mom are there to help them along the trail, no matter how long it is or how short it is or what it looks like. And it got me to think of that with Enoch and God walking together and the encouragement for us to walk with God. So, when we talk about walking with God and we talk about Enoch, the Bible repeatedly uses the term walking with God or walking by faith, but it appears as though Enoch was one of the first ones ever described as one who walked with God. As we read in Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. So if you were to look through some New Testament passages, I'm not sure all the different versions that people have. I'm using the NIV. But there are some verses, depending on which translation you have, that really say this well. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the New American Standard Version says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Whereas the NIV uses living life. And we'll see that in some other verses as well. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us," in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And then the last one, 1 John 1 verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin." God has a ton to offer us when we choose to walk with him. Just the same way that we're careful and try to help those that walk with us along pathways and the different provisions and preparations that we go through, we have that opportunity to walk alongside God. And I need that encouragement. Have you ever walked in a place by yourself and it was dark and it wasn't exactly the best place you've ever been in your life? Anybody ever done that? How'd that make you feel? Scared? Alert. Your head was on a swivel. Yeah. Man, hypersensitive. Because what? You're the only one responsible for you at that moment. And that's the way that we proceed through life a lot of times, where we feel like it's all on me. I have to, and husbands, sometimes this is really tough on us because we feel like we have to carry that load. And we have to be the protector. We have to be the provider. We have to do these things. And sometimes we can be misled in thinking that it's somehow related to us and our efforts, where we have the opportunity to walk with God. Walking with God implies that we have that total faith in surrendering our will to God. He's not interested in a forced march. All right, there's no forced march. Boy, we're getting some imagery of that recently with soldiers all around the world, right? God's not interested in that kind of coercive force that makes you walk alongside of him in lockstep and dressed, you know, impeccably in a uniform or handcuffed or whatever it is. God offers himself for a faithful, righteous walk with him, to be alongside him. I want you to think about something. Hey, Ken, I got a pop question for you. How long have you been preaching, Ken? Ish. 40 years. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And we read later in the New Testament that he was preaching for that period of time. 300 years. It is remarkable the service to God that Ken has preached for 40 years. And we read that this walk was 300 years. Now talk about surrendering your will. What's the average life expectancy right now? 80-something? 87-ish? Is that about right? 300 years! 300 years! Man, we're talking 80-ish, give or take. How often are we discouraged? How often are we discouraged in our walk? It's kind of interesting that they had this relationship and that one day they went out for a walk and that was it. It was just a stroll. We kept on going right into heaven. How cool is that? Is that how you want to go to heaven? We just kind of stroll on in a nice, comfortable, secure walk with somebody that just loves us and adores us. And they want nothing but the best for us. And that is willing to help us along those rough patches, that is willing to carry us, that is willing to help us replenish. And that's what God is offering us. Enoch's walk with God was also a walk of endurance. So while we're not asking for 300 years, that's not what we're being asked in this day and age, is to live for 300 years and walk faithfully in this world. But we are asking, and we are being asked, that we persevere during our time that we have here. And that we endure during that time that we have here. When times are rosy and everything is just magnificent and nothing could possibly go wrong in our lives, to be faithful. And when it seems like we can't catch a break and we have no answers and we can't control anything that we would like to control, to endure faithfully. Enoch did what God required of him by faith, and he left the results for God. Now, Enoch pleased God. He was pleasing in his sight. The author of this lesson suggests that there are three possible motivations for all of us every day. We can please God, we can please ourselves, or we can please other people. Three basic motivations for every day. If we live to please only ourselves, have we ever seen that, folks that live to please only themselves? Do we have any modern examples of that? Reality TV. All right. Famous entertainers. All of them. We see it all the time in childhood stars, right? No matter where they start. We can see that evidence in their life. We can see it in our own lives, right? It's miserable. It's miserable. It's empty. It's void. Something is missing out of life. How about if we only live to please other people? How does that turn out? I'm a recovering people pleaser. I like to please people, or I like to try, and then I normally overcommit and fail miserably, embarrass myself, and let other people down. And then sometimes whenever I actually do achieve or accomplish or whatever it is, all these extra stuff, I don't always satisfy whoever it was that I was trying to please. The reality is that when we're aiming to please anybody other than God, it's rough. It's difficult. We can't please everybody. The only good option is to follow the example of Jesus Christ, which in John chapter 8, verse 29, he declares that he has one goal, and that's to always do what pleases him, the Father. God is not in reality, very difficult to please. And that's a difficult statement sometimes for me to wrap my mind around, because sometimes I feel and think legalistically, and I miss the principles that God loves us and that He wants the very best for us. How awesome is it that He's gracious and merciful and patient with us? Is anybody grateful that that sometimes what we see in the Old Testament doesn't happen today when we mess up? Man, I love hearing the story about Jesus being the blood sacrifice and that He sat down at the right hand of God. Man, I loved hearing that in the lesson. That all the other time there was never a chair in the tabernacle, and I appreciated that point so much that once Jesus offered His blood sacrifice, He sat down. And how trivial that sounds, but how momentous that is for us. Faith is learning to sacrifice the temporary for the eternal. Because of the faith of Enoch and his regular walking with God, he went to be with God in an incredibly extraordinary way, where he was taken to heaven. We talk about belief in God. And we talk about trying to be right in His eyes and to not stray from the path and to lead others into victory and to be reunited with God in heaven. I hear it. I see it. God and our faith in Him can and will be displayed in our actions. We saw it with Cain and Abel, and what was really in their hearts. And the result was Cain committing murder. And we see it in Enoch, where 300 years he dedicated his life to walking with God. I told you that I hoped that by the end of our time in class tonight, that we would have a better understanding of how our faith is in our actions. And I want you to reflect for a moment on what your actions are, what the outcomes are. And when you interact with people, where are they left after they interact with you? And in your family, and this is something I guess just will never go away, but in your family, what do you see as a result of your relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your children's friends, with your extended family, with your neighbors, and with your coworkers? We had folks, and we have folks, that do things out of faith and go places out of faith, knowing that it's the good news of Christ that they're trying to share. And they're willing to go to whatever length that is. And for some, that's going to Ethiopia. For some, that's helping manage and create and start a children's home. For others, it's going into juvenile centers and visiting with young men about their lives. For some of us, it's learning and continuing to learn how to be a good parent and be a good husband. We all have unique roles and unique responsibilities and unique opportunities to positively impact those that we encounter. And the reason that we have those opportunities is so that God can be glorified. And when we have the attitude and the mindset that we are looking to faithfully walk with God for His glory, then to me that helps give some relief. Because it's not about you or I getting credit for it. It's so that some might be saved. Just like you and I were saved and are actively pursuing Him today. God didn't waste His time on your life. And God did not spare anything that was precious to Him, more precious than His Son. It wasn't a waste. It was an investment. It was a humongous price. And He did it because He loves us and He wants to be with us. Tonight, the encouragement is that we can walk in faith, and that folks will know that we are Christians by the way that we talk, the way that we live, the way that we walk in faith. And we'll start and we'll continue to see the outgrowth of that. Tonight, I hope that when you think about your life, you can reflect on some things that you're doing great, that you should be proud of, your heritage and your faith. And then also to think and consider about what are some things that I might be doing that could be a negative influence or some bad habits that I have. Some of those may require and may need a public response. Some of those may need a private response. It may need us talking to one another about our life. Whatever it is, it's my hope and prayer that we can look to God and know that He's that guy, that He's that God that is active in our life, that wants us to be united with Him, that's willing to carry us over the rough spots, that's willing to replenish us, and that doesn't want us to worry about despair, that we can be joyful people knowing that eternal life with Him is guaranteed if we're willing to walk by faith. Thank you.